Fans of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 3 are complaining that there's way too many memes being posted about what's going on. No one's talking about the meat of the show. Well, folks, that's where we come in.
It's not easy being sent home when your hopes are set on snatching the crown. Thorgy Thor said, "Ew, Jesus, gross," while Milk cried over the spillage of being sent home.
Today, Mother has arrived. Vivacious joins us to take a look at how high the emotions run when drag queens sashay away before getting a chance to show everything they got.
Plus, the gays are taking over the Olympics.
Which kinds of snow are safe to eat?
And hashtag Poop Watch is trending.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Ooh. The time has come for you to show how fierce and fabulous you are, hunty.
Check out our t-shirts inspired by many great moments in drag in our fashion boutique, feastoffun.com/store.
You ass people.
I'm an ass man. Yes, I will admit to that.
Oh, really, Mark?
Okay. Oh, yes, I love a good piece of ass.
I'm gonna blow. He's right next to you.
He'll do.
Exactly.
We've been talking for 30 seconds now, and you haven't said Mother has arrived. What's up with that?
Shock was I was here waiting to read y'all. I've been ready for y'all since 9 o'clock. I had a douche.
Sorry, I wound up like being a Grindr date that wasn't on time. Or in your case, it's Craigslist.
Wall. Meet me at 2 o'clock, and you've been sitting in that bathroom stall since 2, and they don't come till 4.
Yes, Miss Thing, the back of my neck is hurting from trying to look through the little hole. Either way, honey, Mother has arrived.
Yay!
Swoosh.
You know, let me
Christina, bring me the trade.
Category is Bitter Queens. So what have you been making about Milk and Thorgy Thor's departure on All Stars?
Quite unexpected.
Well, somebody had to go home, right?
Right. Somebody else wrote last night on, I think it was somewhere on Tumblr. My roommate sent it to me. They said, Chi-Chi Devane doing Roxy Andrews on All Stars 3.
What does that mean?
Because on All Stars 2, Roxy, no matter if she was bad or not, somebody still kept her around and she kept on getting closer to the top.
Ah.
Was Chi-Chi Devane also left at a bus stop by her mom?
No. She's from Le Bouge, Shreveport, honey.
Well, hold on a second. There might be a little bit more to that because Chi-Chi is kind of going around like, I don't deserve to be here. You know, she's giving us a lot of sympathy, right? By her tears.
This is what's going on.
Yeah.
When Chi-Chi first announced that Chi-Chi was going to be on All Stars, there was a video where she's like, I've had some tours. I've now got new costumes. I'm ready for this thing. Drag Race All Stars or Drag Race in general does not equate to I have good costumes.
Well, you know, and for her, though, too, it's the difference between shopping at Kmart and shopping at Target. You know what I mean? It's like,
oh, you guys.
Well, it's a huge difference. And, you know, I even have a problem with that comment where Michelle Visage said to Chi-Chi on season 8 or 7 or whatever it was, when Chi-Chi says, I don't have money to get all the good stuff. And Michelle goes, no, you don't need money for drag. Michelle, yes, you do.
It's not like Michelle, you know, spends 10 cents on her looks.
You know, you need money to make drag work.
Mm-hmm. You at least need to go to Ross. Not Ross Matthews. Ross pays right. For less, yeah.
You know, you need something, but I think Chi-Chi came into the show equating costume as a skill set. And the problem with that was, it's not, that's not the case. Chi-Chi, the skill set is in you. You need to access it. Don't worry about the costumes. She saw all these other girls with fierce costumes, and it intimidated her. And it threw her back in the whirlwind spiral that she saw herself in the season that she was in.
For sure. And when you look at Drag Race, it's not just to get out there, dress up in a costume and lip sync performance like most drag is that you'd see out in a bar. But it's, you know, in reality, it's a reality. It's a talent show. You know, these people are expected to perform, expected to do comedy, they're supposed to dance. You know, sometimes they force them to sing. So it's like anything's up there.
Right. And I think also what happened was, yes, Chi-Chi might have gotten some new stuff, but what she considered to be her arsenal isn't up to what these other girls consider arsenal.
Yeah, you're up against a corn dress. I mean, come on.
A corn wig.
You know?
Yeah, that corn wig is pretty good, though.
It wasn't. She came out in an ear of corn, wasn't it?
Yeah, but what everybody's really excited about was Shangela's braided, bright green wig with little popcorn kernel pins in it.
Which was fucking fierce.
But Kim Chi somehow managed to build her own wig, or did she just buy it off of, or steal it off of Shangela?
What are you talking about?
Kim Chi's posting pictures of herself on social media wearing the identical wig.
No, because Shangela and Kim Chi are on the same tour, and Liam Riley, which is Shangela's assistant, has been using the wig. So has also Bob's assistant. They're all on the same tour right now.
Oh, I see.
In the same dressing room. And Shangela has the wig then. She's letting them play with it.
Oh, but also Kim has asked people on social media to Photoshop herself, like all of her season looks, into that wig. So she's there. I'm sorry, but you know what? My popcorn wigs blow that popcorn wig out of the water.
Well, you had a popcorn. You had a popcorn updo.
Yes,
made out of popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
actual caramel popcorn. Which I have to say,
it was all edible too.
Foxy Kim and I ate half of that wig, and we gained about 20 pounds, honey. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we were the thick and juicy girls of our season. You know what I'm saying?
The fucking juicy girls. The fucking juicy girls. Yes, Miss Day.
So Thorgy Thor goes home. She's not ready to go home. She stands on the stage and goes, ew, gross.
Oh, Jesus, gross.
Jesus, gross. What?
To me, realistically, that's kind of like being a store loser. That's like just now you just showing your ass. And I'm going to tell you why. It's kind of like when, when Fifi did it last season. At the end of the day, you need to remember you've been brought back into the Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
You should have had a reality chip implanted in you to remind you that it's not the end of the world if you leave early or not. There is one thing that they can't take away from you once you've been on that show.
And what is that?
No one can undo the fact that, bitch, you made it to All Stars.
Mm.
And you can take just that part of the dignity and walk away with your head held high.
Well, and for a second, I thought it was going to be, you know, she's just kind of playing up for the cameras. But in interviews after the
she's
still bitter.
Upset about it. Yeah,
here's the thing. Thorgy, there was no way in hell you was going to win All Stars 3. That's just a damn known fact. But guess what? Vivacious, there's no way in hell you're going to win All Stars 4 or All Stars 5 unless I give everybody arsenic before they make their grand entrance.
You know, as Morgan McMichaels would say, "Why you mad, girl? Why you mad, girl? What?"
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, if I made it to All Stars, you cannot take away that title from my belt. And thank you, Mother Ru, for considering me, for putting me on All Stars at some point in the future. All Stars 20, whatever.
But you got eliminated, I felt, and a lot of people felt, much sooner on your season 6.
Yes.
And you weren't too happy about it.
Even though I might not be happy about it, there's a big difference between going out there and putting it out in the universe as a physical, tangible record and speaking to people who you trust quietly with you or disgruntled, you know, about it on the side. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And well, in your season, though, too, I mean, there was the heaviest competition I think there's ever been. Bianca Del Rio, Courtney Act, Adore, Ben de la Creme. And it was funny, like, when you're seeing, like, Ben's on this season of All Stars, and they're showing clips from when his season, you're like, oh, my God, he was so amazing on his season, but just overshadowed by some of these just powerhouses, but now has an opportunity to shine.
And Trixie's calling it Ben de la Creme's Drag Race. Mm-hmm.
She is good at her craft, but you know, when it comes to being a little bit manipulative and Sarah Palin under the table, you can see her streaks kind of coming through. Remember the first thing she said when she got to the season was, oh, I wish if Valentina was here. So if I did anything shady and underhand, people would just automatically go, well, Valentina's the shady one, not me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, because they were both Miss Congeniality, so she's trying to make that comparison. But also, you know, she was also like thinking, like, if I'm going to eliminate somebody, you know, you're the axe man, and so some people are going to hate you for that. But listen, you can't hate me as much as Valentina.
Exactly. She came in as Miss Surreptitious Bitch. That's the problem with that. That's like, yes, you're good at winning the cross, you're good at winning the challenges, but Shangela can see right through you.
What are you trying to say? You're trying to say that she's not good enough?
Oh, she is good enough for the challenges, but mm-hmm. but the character of the person is a little bit smarmy.
So you feel like she's being insincere. She's doing that.
Yes. Milksoit and Shangela Soit.
She's doing art school shade, right? She's like going, I really love how street your art is. As a way of saying you're trashy.
Well, think about this. Even after she won last week, they asked her why did she choose who she eliminated? And she tried to switch it back to Shangela instead of answering the question. Because she knew she pulled a stunt in terms of why she wanted to choose that queen to leave. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Shangela had a real answer. But for Ben, it was a calculating thing. She's still calculating. That bitch has a calculator.
Well, don't we all? You just swipe up.
Yeah, it's right there on your phone. But it's like, listen, she knew it was going to go. She picked who she wanted to go home, and she said the reason why she did it. I think that's fair.
She didn't have a reason.
Oh, she had a reason. She was like, he's not going to play by the same rules we want to play by. And so he's going to see me as a threat. So I'm going to just see him as a threat and get him gone.
But let's be real clear. One thing is that the producers get to see.
Oh, that was episode one.
The producers get to see who picks what lipstick, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So they already know if they choose Ben as the winner versus Shangela as the winner, the producers are choosing also who gets to go home. Mm-hmm. And if somebody does, if the both performances, most of the time in this level, they're about the same mm-hmm. with the winners, then it's really subtle and subjective. And through editing, you can make one performance seem better than the other. So really, the producers are still in charge.
In a sense, yes, but not really. There was no way in hell Ben de la Creme could outperform Shangela in no lifetime.
Well, it depends on what the number is, isn't it? Do you think Shangela could do a burlesque number like Ben could? Maybe. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
With practice, certainly, but like right off the bat, no.
Right, well, Ben is very good. Let's be realistic. Ben de la Creme is quite verse in burlesque. Quite verse. Mm-hmm. Actually, she's been doing burlesque before Violet Chachki came on the scene. Mm.
You mean Tina Angst?
There's a
the drag queen formerly known as Tina Angst.
She performed her as Tina Angst, and then she killed her off before she left. She killed off her drag character, and then she moved to Seattle. And that's why I'm always like, when people get tired of their drag character, I'm just like, kill them off, you know, create a new character, become something else. You don't have to get stuck to the same identity.
Yes. So
Ben de la Creme. So you're trying to say Ben de la Creme had a name before Ben de la Creme?
Oh, yes, yeah. We know Ben way back when she lived in Chicago.
From like 2004 and 5,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. She and her used name to go was by the Tina name Tina Angst. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, even back then, Tina Angst was really good at performing, and she stood above the rest of the girls. And so when I had heard that she was gal-palling with Jinx Monsoon, I was like, oh, it's just a matter of time before she gets on Drag Race.
And she's on the next season, right?
And she was on the next season. And in fact, I was reaching out to Ben De La Creme before she got on Drag Race. And I was like, hey, girl, call me. Let's talk.
You know? When we ran into her on the street, had she already been on Drag Race? Because we ran into her.
That's a good question. Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't know if she had filmed it yet.
No. But part of it is like, you know, when they're making the rounds in those interviews, you know, they don't want to jinx anything, so they're very nervous about it, you know. But so
let's talk about her elimination, her and her performance a little bit, because she's saying, and a lot of the other girls are saying, that her part in the show, there was just no good lines. It wasn't very funny. Stevie Nicks is you know, she's a tired icon. She may have been an icon a while ago, but she's not really relevant like she would be today. She just doesn't have the same kind of like things you can kind of make fun of that some of the other girls have.
I would say this. It was bad calculation overall combined on both sides in terms of using Stevie Nicks. And they are right, though. They didn't write anything funny for Stevie Nicks to work with. Mm. It's as obvious as day.
Mm-hmm. The only thing,
in terms of Thorgy pulling off Stevie Nicks, do you realize that while she was doing the rehearsal section with Todrick, she kept telling you exactly what Stevie Nicks does do and doesn't do. So this is a queen who knows Stevie Nicks quite well, and that's why she said she failed as though she's been set up to fail, because everybody else had funny shticks added to their lines.
Mm-hmm.
So, in a sense, maybe you could say the narrative has already been stacked against her.
Mm.
But in also her defense, Thorgy did a fucking excellent job doing Stevie Nicks. And I'm sorry, Stevie Nicks is a gay icon. In New York, we still do Nights of a Thousand Stevies. And queens from all over the country still come to New York to do Nights of a Thousand Stevie. So there is no way you could say she's a tired ass icon. I'm sorry. Age of 17 is enough to give me goosebumps.
Well, yeah, sorry. They call her the queen of rock and roll.
Sorry, Edge of 17. I can't believe I said age. Edge of 17 is enough to give me goosebumps. So she'll always be an icon.
If you go to Stevie Nicks' official website, stevie-nicks.info.
Really?
I was like, girl, can't you get a better URL than that? The title of the site and the HTML is the Queen of Rock and Roll.
Mm-hmm.
She herself calls her that.
Yeah, well, people have called her that for a long, long time. You know, I was thinking about her performances. I guess the one thing with Stevie Nicks is you always kind of think of like her as being like this witchy woman. She was even featured on American Horror Story Coven. You know, she sang a couple of different. She sang her big hit Rihanna, and then also to the Seven Wonders. And they were both kind of like a little boring in American Horror Story when they showed it. But you know, I just play out that witch aspect or something. You know,
it's a specific genre.
Mm-hmm.
Of a specific like. Whereas all the other characters that were given were more like, you could turn Mariah Carey into a hot mess real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You could turn Diana Ross into a hot mess real quick if you wanted to as well. You know.
Why are you crying?
Because she thinks she's Aja.
No, someone hasn't given me a compliment in 5 minutes.
Who's that?
Milk. Oh. Milk is, I don't know if this is, this is not our experience with Milk in person.
Milk was super Milk sweet, not, funny, Milk charming, is, wonderful Milk. Person.
But on that Listen. Show, it's like, if he doesn't get a compliment every 5 minutes, he melts. He turns into spoiled milk.
And he seems like he has an overinflated idea of what his drag is and what his drag represents.
This is what happened. We all make shit stakes. I didn't say mistakes. I meant shit stakes. It's a new word. Shit happens. It was a mistake. That's what happened. He made a mistake and shit happened. So it's called a shit stake. However, Milk is a, yes, hashtag shit stake.
Do you fry that? Do you take it rare or well done? Or how do you like to use shit stake?
It depends, because in Milk, shit.
You need to work on those hashtags there.
What happened is this. Milk mistook confidence for cocky and arrogance. And that was where he made the mistake walking into the season. He was supposed to be confident in what he thinks he could do, but somewhere along the way, he switched confidence and arrogance into the same category as confidence. And that's what we saw by a mistake in terms of this shit tape that we saw on TV. Because Milk is not that person. Milk has never been that person. It's not her.
Well, you know, I mean, is it just the situation? And you can speak to this, is being in that studio with the cameras and the lights and the pressure. Does that psychologically affect a person?
I think if Milk had a boner with something to prove before she came back to the show and realized that she wasn't being able to prove it, it's kind of like what happened with Chi-Chi. And Chi-Chi broke down crying, whereas Milk jumped into arrogant mode. You see what I'm saying? Chi-Chi realizes that she's not doing what she's supposed to do the way how she thought she could have done it. So she went into breakdown mode, whereas Milk realized he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do and switched to the opposite spectrum of Chi-Chi.
What do you make of this whole, like, Milk's, like, he keeps kind of saying, like, I want to take drag in a whole new direction. And then he comes out looking the way he looks. And which some people are saying is just, you know, it's kind of basic in some ways.
Listen, sometimes people use the wrong words for things. And this would be a manifestation for that. Because let's be realistic. I grew up in an era where I've seen the fiercest of all queens do some of the most fiercest costumes and everything. So I'm not impressed with what's going on currently in terms of fashions and trend. I've seen better back in the day. But I'm not going to say I'm taking drag to a new level. I'm sorry, there's a fiercer queen who probably did it better than me many years ago. I'm just a carbon copy manifestation of my ancestors of drag who did it better before me.
This kind of reminds me of that article in the Attitude by that young writer who was saying that young people don't need to be burdened with LGBT history. Yeah. And in some ways, you know, I'm not saying that male necessarily feels this way, but it comes across this way, is that he feels he doesn't want to be burdened with the shoulders of giants that he's standing upon. And so, you know, we can't be doing drag today if it wasn't for all these people through millennia who have created the world we live in now. And so to say that, like, everything that I'm doing is somehow a radical departure on everybody else's is selfish.
You're doing a disservice to the root of everything. By thinking that you're better than where we came from, or that you shouldn't, you have to take on the responsibility. I'm going to tell you why. We haven't had a gay Holocaust yet. I'm talking Auschwitz level. So it is our job to preserve every single aspect of what got us this far. And it is our job to make sure that if there is a Holocaust, we can push forward from it and let our future selves know we come from a long breed of fierceness. You cannot stop what we are, because even if you wiped out every single gay on the planet, our next generation is going to wake up one morning and feel there is a divine spirit in the universe telling me that I am not X chromosome and Y.
Well, certainly Larry Kramer and a lot of AIDS activists and people who passed on did compare the AIDS crisis to the Holocaust. And so
it is. Yes, you can say that. But what I'm talking about is this. When I mean the Holocaust, I'm talking about literally every country pulling a percentage of Auschwitz type of a deal simultaneously or in staggered stages.
Well, certainly Cuba did that with people who are HIV positive. They quarantined them.
They quarantined them.
Yeah, they put them in concentration camps. You know, but so what you're saying is that we need to really value our history and use that as a source of strength when we find ourselves in circumstances that are very difficult.
Uh-huh. Because there is strength in the knowledge from the past to get you through a lot of things.
It's like when I watch Tu Wong Fu on Netflix and I go, look how young and gorgeous Coco Peru looks there. Look how sweet Misunderstood looks there. Look how thin Lady Bunny looks like there. And then everybody goes, there's a black drag queen. Is that Vivacious?
You just started doing drag around that time, didn't you? No, you were in there.
I was the thing was I could have done that recording, but I was worried about my parents finding out because it would have started World War IV in my house.
So you were on the down low about it.
Oh, honey, I was a DL queen, honey.
Yeah, but you managed to get into whose music video? Laura Branigan's music video.
Yes.
Which song was that?
Dim All the Lights, because my mother don't watch music videos. She watched a TV show.
She didn't have cable.
Thank God we didn't have cable, honey. That would have been the end of a short career.
I told you to hit the mute button, baby. Hit that mute button, baby.
It's not working anymore. Look what happens when I do it. Look.
Okay.
What does that mean?
It sounds like you gotta visit the Genius Bar, honey.
Somebody's downloaded a virus on my computer and they kept saying they'd take it off and they didn't. Anyway.
So Milk has had an amazing life. You know, he gets to travel around the world. He gets to, you know, I mean, wear some really great costumes that are, you know, his friend Marc Jacobs has a hand in. Yeah, I mean, what he wore at DragCon New York, it was like a Marc Jacobs slash Milk booth.
Oh, yeah.
And his costume had Marc Jacobs clothing in it.
All right.
And so, to me, I'm just kind of like going, why didn't we see some of those elements early on? Because, you know, if you're on a show like Drag Race or All Stars, you could get eliminated early. So, if you have some heavy guns, stack those in the front.
Yeah, that's part of the reason they say, like, Pandora Box and Mimi I first went home, because they looked at Pandora's clothing and they didn't like it. So they sent her home.
Yes. I'm going to be very honest. Mm-hmm. I am convinced that when the drag queens are in a different part of the building, whether we're eating lunch or on our way home to, like, you know, study a track for the evening, I am very 1,000,000,000% convinced they peruse through everything you have and put it back, and they take notes, because it gives them the idea of how to write the narrative and how to try to find a way to segue you out for the next episode if you don't have the things that come in handy for what the challenge requires.
Speaking of segue, I wonder if part of the reason why Milk was eliminated next week is because next week they're having Marc Jacobs come on the show, and it's like, did they not want the two of them on the show together?
You mean conflict of interest much?
Maybe, but I don't know. But also, Rue DJs for him for his parties, right? For Marc Jacobs, his parties.
Right. Conflict of interest much.
Well, I mean, I imagine that they probably scheduled Marc Jacobs to appear after they sent Milk home with the understanding that Milk wasn't going to make it all the way anyways. And maybe maybe that's inferred in the contract, you know, but they're like, you don't need to worry about the final round, honey.
I had to Google Zaddy because Milk keeps saying Zaddy.
Who's that? To Marc Jacobs?
No, he just says that. I have just heard him
say. That's a New York term for an older, fierce looking, gay, mature male. Mm-hmm. Instead of daddy, it's Zaddy. And that's been a phrase that we've been using in New York for the last year.
Okay. Yeah, it's for a guy who's attractive and fashionable with swag and sex appeal, according to the Urban Dictionary. And the first I looked it up because I was like, Google. Where did it come from? And I got the first time it was kind of used was, Zayn Malik from One Direction. He had an Instagram post, and because his name is Zayn, and it said, Zaddy looking like a baby on Father's Day. And there's a picture of him, like, getting out of a car or something like that. And so I think people just kind of kind of picked it up from there. Like, that sounds good. And New York is really, I mean, that's a daddy town. There are lots of daddies in that town.
There's a whole lot. Yes, there's a whole lot.
Do you like
a
mature man, Vivacious, or do you like a young thing?
Child, I like when we're not going into my subjects. Leave my proclivities alone.
Does Jaws like young, fresh meats?
Yes, I am more attracted to the young, fresh meat.
Mm. I like them all ages. I'm willing to overlook a lot of stuff as long as you have a good body.
I'm not a trisexual. I'm very specific.
You know, I'm pretty much, if you got biceps, we can make this work. What about you, Mark?
What? I like all sorts of guys.
Like what kinds?
Sexy ones. Like you, my dear.
I was going to say, Pops, though, you're here talking about you like a man with good biceps and triceps. Guess what? He's sitting right next to you, bitch.
Oh, yes, right. Honey. I'm admiring him every time I tape a show.
He's like every time Fausto looks at you, he sings Aretha Franklin, "Who Zoom In Who."
a wise person once told me, what one bitch won't do, another one will.
Or don't advertise your man.
That's 100% true. If you don't do it, somebody else will, honey.
That's right. Thank God.
You know, and I was thinking about that. It's like, did you see that little kid who was in a daycare, and I think it was like in Sacramento or something like that, and came home, and the mother was just like, looked at her little daughter who had a unibrow and noticed that the caretakers had waxed her daughter's eyebrows to get rid of that unibrow. And now she's like, she's pissed. She's like, I loved my little child's unibrow.
Oh, her little baby Frida Kahlo.
Her little, yeah.
I don't think it's a babysitter's job to infringe on a child's sensibility or style. If the parents leave it there for a reason, there's a reason. It is not your job to play divine intervention.
No, of course not. But I guess they just got so sick of looking at this little beast. They're like, wax it.
it's like she was looking like a little Eddie Monster. I couldn't take enough. I've had it.
She was looking like Sasha Velour.
She's like, Eddie Monster. No, honey, Sasha Velour looks gorgeous as hell.
She paints on those unibrows.
Sasha's unibrow changed a part of the scope of drag. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm. It's inspired me in some ways. Sometimes when I go to trim my eyebrows, because like, as you get older, sometimes your eyebrows grow longer. I don't know if it happens to everybody, so you kind of have to trim them. And I was just like, I combed them up one day. I'm like, maybe I'll just go out like Sasha Velour today and see what happens. But then I was just like, oh, I can't do that. I think that's that Russian influence on her drag, being in Russia and seeing all those crazy eyebrows that they have over there. She's just like, hey, let's paint them on.
So, who is going home next? So Milk has been sent home.
I think it might be Chi-Chi Devane, because there is this defeated energy that you feel coming from her, and only two things could happen. Last season, when she was down on herself, Chi-Chi, she then snapped out of it and then started rising to the top. So, she can either be next or she'll rise.
Well, it's going to be Snatch Game, so it's going to be all, you know, it's going to be contingent on her character, really.
I just want to remind folks that RuPaul loves people without any talent becoming superstars. That's like, he's very fascinated with fame, the process of fame, and making people a relative obscurity into household names. And I like the way that Chi-Chi Devane pisses off the other queens, and they're like, I can do better than that. Why is she still here? Da, 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 da. You know, and I think they're going to keep her around for a while just because she's a good, you know, foil for these queens' egos.
And there might be an upset, too, is that somebody with real, like, talent might get the chop.
I heard rumors that Ben de la Creme does not make it all the way.
Oh, my God. After being in the top three times?
After being in the top three.
Well, honey, in the words of Ex Speculum, shit happens.
So right now, the front runners in this season, who are they exactly?
Shangela. Ben de la Creme, Kennedy Davenport, and Aja.
So you think Trixie's not even a contender for that top three spot?
I think Trixie's just getting her motorboat warmed up. I think she's about to jet stream all those bitches. Yeah, because I can see Trixie actually probably being in the top or winning Snatch Game. Because remember, Trixie is a very considerate type of a queen. She doesn't overtalk people. She's just going, give me enough breath to do my job. And you saw that in The Bachelor. The minute she got a chance to breathe in, she killed it. Even in the 3.5 seconds before Milk kept on overshadowing her, you know, with a stalking direction, etc. But I believe Trixie is going to be one of the top girls. I can see Shangela and also, you know, possibly Ben de la Creme. Mm.
Yeah, it's right now, currently, it strikes me as it's Shangela and Ben's show. And with, you know, co-starring or with guest appearance by Trixie Mattel. So, you know, whether the other queens sort of move forward or overshadow Ben or Shangela, it's going to be interesting what happens.
I think that Ben de la Creme is going to have a really good Snatch Game. She's very, as I said, the bitch travels with a calculator. She knows what she's doing.
Also, too, she's great at character study. So whoever she picks, like the person she picked last time, she understands who they are. She knows what their motivation is. She knows how this person is. She gets into that mode. And so, you know, you call it calculated. Some people might say it's artistry or craft.
Right. She knows exactly what she needs to do. She studies that person. You know, she's not, you know, some people keep forgetting that Snatch Game is a character that you're supposed to take, make funny to the nth degree with enough comebacks. It's not just, I look like this person. Mm-hmm. And so Ben will definitely have a character that's going to let them have it.
You know, I always thought though too. It's like if you win Snatch Game, if you have a memorable Snatch Game, I always felt that like that made your career. Like you could go very far. But then look, it was Alexis Michelle. Is that her name? And she won as Liza, and it was just kind of like I don't know. It doesn't even, now in retrospect doesn't seem that memorable.
No, yeah, that's true. But I think it was because that was the season where everybody else just had a bad snatch.
Have you seen the pictures of the costumes from the film Black Panther and the you know red carpet looks? A lot of people are saying that not just this is Afrofuturism, but it also pays tribute to the wide variety of styles and cultures in the continent of Africa.
Actually, yes, there's a full interview where she pulls from all the different tribes, and she made sure that it was represented in everything in the movie coming up. But also, she said one integral design that was actually known throughout all of Africa is the symbol of the triangle. So that's why she said she has it on King T'Challa's outfit throughout the whole thing, because each, no matter which one of the tribes, that symbol is in all the tribes combined.
I wonder, do you know what it symbolizes?
No, I didn't get that far into the interview to,
it looks good. A triangle looks good.
Triangle slimming, you know, because it's wide shoulders and it tapers in the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like a caution, fierceness ahead.
Are you going to see that movie when it comes out?
Actually, yes. My roommate and I think we're scheduled for the 18th.
It looks fantastic.
Yeah, everybody's saying Black Panther is just the most exciting film release of this year so far.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like I've been following the comic book for over 15 years in terms of what's been going on with it. So, people have been looking forward to something like that for a while.
And I guess, you know, somebody should ask Trump about the increasing tensions in the nation of Wakanda.
There's a bat
out there. So if somebody gets to ask Trump during a press conference about the nation of Wakanda, they're going to win like a bunch of money.
you do remember that right before the election, a few Republicans wanted to bomb Agrabah.
You do remember that, right?
That's from from Aladdin. Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, a few Republicans that were making speeches to CNN before Trump had declared the press, you know, fake news, and they wanted to bomb Agrabah, and we were like, you know, it's a
Disney. I say go for it. you fuck with that genie, they'll come for you.
Genie was going to mess things up. You know, he could that nation state has supernatural powers.
How's this for a hashtag out there? It's hashtag poo watch. There's a guy in the UK who was arrested for being suspected of drug dealing, and so they think that he shoved the drugs up his butt. And so they're like, well, we're going to hold you until you poop it out or whatever, you know. And so he has been in jail now for 24 days and he still has not taken a shit.
Damn, they can't even give him a laxative?
Well, I don't know if they have or what the dealio is, but he's just like, he's not shitting it out.
So he's trying to hold it all in.
I guess so. Or there's just nothing in there.
Yeah, but by the third or fourth day, your body has a movement, and I'm not talking Tchaikovsky.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. It's going to make a hard metallic pellet sound when it comes out.
Yeah, the thing is, like, how could you just clench it in for so long? You know, your body wants to get it out.
Don't you know that's how Superman makes diamonds?
I mean, seriously, at this point, Swarovski better hire him. Mm-hmm. Somebody.
Yeah. So he's also not
the
eating.
Beers. Mm-hmm. The beers better. Well, he's not eating, but I'm sure they're giving him water, so he's using that as his nutrient. Mm-hmm. So either way, at the end, if he actually expires, they'll just do an autopsy and still get what they need from him.
Yeah. They say even if you don't eat, you're still going to poo because you have so much like bacteria, and then like the lining of your intestines is always coming off. So actually it's only like one third of what comes out of you is actually just poo, is the food. The rest is dead bacteria and your intestinal walls.
Somebody tell that to the people at the Black Party in New York City.
Oh, you talking about that time somebody shit on the floor on the dance floor?
Girl, please. I'm talking about, honey, at that party, some of them like to eat some of that stuff. We're not even going to get into that.
But yeah, there was a story, I'm not sure if you're the one who told it to us or Lady Bunny, but that someone in one of those dance parties,
was all over the gay news,
took a big old shit on the dance floor and people didn't notice and they just kept dancing and spreading the poop all over the floor.
They just thought
it was like soap or something. They're like,
well, they probably smelled it, you know. Whew. But you know, you go to those kinds of things or those sex parties and every now and then you're going to smell something.
If I smell something bad, I'm just, you know, I gotta move on. I gotta get away from
it. Which is why you could never catch me at a sex party, because I'm one of those queens where even when I have a straight boy coming over, I will turn on the shower, plug in that long tube, and douche him for 45 minutes before I turn around and try to eat anybody's salad.
Okay, everyone, clip that sound bite and make that your ringtone on your phone.
Bitch.
Available now at feastoffun.com/store. Vivacious's new ringtone.
You know what's safe to eat it's safe to eat snow if it's only like a half day old.
Yeah.
But if it's older than like a half day, if it's like 2 days old, it's not safe to eat snow because it's covered in a lot of bacteria.
And poop.
But fresh snow is relatively clean. So if you want to eat fresh snow, go ahead. But if it's old snow, don't eat it because it'll be covered in bacteria.
And the yellow one tastes like lemonade.
It sure does.
Jim Carrey and a lot of celebrities, I don't buy this, But they're on Twitter saying that they're going to be selling their Facebook stock and deleting their pages because the company profited from Russian interference during the 2016 election. Notice they're using Twitter to post this news. Hmm. And of course, you know, they're not getting off of Twitter, which also was profiting off the 2016 election of Russian interference.
I think Facebook was physically linked to a lot of fake sites.
Yeah.
They're still writing algorithms right now to try to rectify the problem.
They're much in a hurry to do that, you know.
They're not. Facebook is, and you know, it's not only that. Also, the reason why a lot of people also leave in Facebook is because Facebook is also doing a lot of stunts. Like in New York City, 90% of most people who use Facebook are for club purposes. Facebook has now made sure that every post can only be seen by 50 people or less.
It is really spooky, right? Because in the early days of Facebook, I used to post something and, you know, every listener of the show
would get the message.
Yeah. And it's like it would get at least 1,000, 2,000 likes, you know, or something like that. And now it's like one or two, you know.
Mm. Yeah. And so at this point, even today, I had a talk with a friend of mine. We were like, we wish if MySpace would come back so that we could just leave Facebook. It's very invasive, but then they try to tell you. So today I posted a video that was uploaded from my phone. Facebook sent me a message and said, we've determined that you do not own the content. I said, you're only supposed to complain if I was doing Facebook Live. So are you going to go around and tell everybody that goes out and hear a song while they're eating dinner and they record a scene of that music in the background that they don't own the rights to the content, Facebook? To me, now you're just sounding like a Nazi.
Well, you just got to only perform to your own tracks. Nasha. Nasha. Kids, and you know.
Listen, if everybody on the planet only starts to perform to what they create themselves, the world will be a very boring place in 5 seconds.
RuPaul lip syncs to her own music.
Who?
RuPaul. I don't think I've ever seen RuPaul lip sync to or perform anybody else's music but her own.
She did Don't Go Breaking My Heart with Elton John.
Yeah, but that was still like she's in the song, you know. It's not like she's lip syncing to Jennifer Holliday or something.
Mm.
And that's a whole different process.
Early in her career, she probably lip synced to something.
Oh yeah, I'm sure when she was young.
It's probably all Diana Ross.
She did a lot of Diana Ross back then. Yes.
I love the performance that you did. Was a remix of Jennifer Holliday from Dreamgirls, and I'm telling you, there was something else in the beginning.
It was Whitney Houston.
That was fierce, honey.
Did you see the second part where I wrote How to Keep a Man?
Yes, I did.
You keep a man by munching his trade, people.
That means eating ass.
Munch, munch, munch.
No, munch and trade mean what's up front, not what's in the back.
Ass, it's not just what's for dinner anymore. It's for breakfast, too. And a delightful afternoon snack.
That too.
Can I get an amen? Jesus. So you guys like
amen.
You're acting like I said something racist or something.
No, we thought you was just going to get to the part about
something else.
Exactly.
You're waiting for the punchline.
Yeah, like, it was like, where does the funny part come? Sometimes are you watching the Olympics at all?
The humor is inside.
No, because I've never liked the way how NBC handles how they talk over everything. Mike Pence was there and refused to salute or acknowledge any of the other countries. So at that point, I'm like, I'm just turned off by the whole thing.
I haven't had a chance to see the opening ceremonies yet. I'm sure it's probably on the NBC app, so I'll probably catch up with that sooner or later. But I'm just, you know, so proud of our gay athletes that are out there. Gus Kenworthy looking so super cute. He's Instagramming the shit out of the Olympics.
I first found out about him on Family Feud. I was like, isn't this nice? Family Feud has an openly gay guy with his family. Aww. You know, it's like, oh, this is an Olympic athlete.
Well, he made a big splash in the Sochi Olympics because he had rescued these dogs. You know, I guess he brought like five dogs home with him because in Russia they just have like these mutts running around. And then shortly thereafter that, he decided to come out of the closet. And he says it's really opened up his life and it's just been really amazing. And it was a cute picture of him with the figure skater Alan Rippon kissing, like just hugging and kissing and getting real close and just being so cute and gay. And Alan, I guess I didn't see his performance, but I guess it was absolutely fantastic. So he's doing really, really well.
Amazing.
And he's like, I don't want to meet Pence. I want to work. I want to do my thing. And, you know, I'll think about it. But like, I don't necessarily need to have a discussion with this person because this person's, you know, clearly anti-LGBT.
Well, and also it's going to be a mess. And then he's going to be, instead of working as an athlete or having fun or working on his own career, he's going to be massaging and dealing with Pence's ego. Yeah. and you disrespected the president, you know, by not, you know, sucking his dick when you met him or something. And nobody wants to suck Pence's dick.
Oh, there's a lot of people who would like to suck his dick.
No, actually,
someone call him a zaddy.
listen, no. This is what before I suck Pence's dick, I would go to South America, mm-hmm. buy four piranhas, put them in my mouth, fly back to the White House, and blow that motherfucker so those piranhas can eat him alive and kill him right there in the spot. Mm-hmm. You heard it here first.
Some people say it looks like a Race Banner from Johnny Quest.
It does kill your Johnny Quest boner, the Race yeah. Banner. And what was the redhead guy?
Dr. Quest.
Dr. Quest and Race Bannon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Slash fiction there.
They were totally doing it.
That was a good show.
Mm-hmm. I love Johnny Quest.
And Haji.
And Haji, sim sim salabim, bitch. Hashtag sim sim salabim, bitch.
I'm glad you said it.
But I gotta tell you, Gus Kenworthy and his boyfriend look pretty cute together. I wouldn't mind paying, you know, Sean Cody for that porn video.
Oh, that's not coming anytime soon.
Yeah, those guys are making so much money. Just they're like. He's getting money to model underwear.
Well, and I guess, you know, these guys, they all live off sponsorships and yeah. and him being gay, I guess he's saying is like it's in some ways it's opened up more doors for him because he says that people like brands are actively looking for more diversity right now because, you know, with the fragmentation of social media, it's like you have an audience here, you have an audience here, you have an audience there. So you really just kind of need to target a bunch of different places.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Whereas if 10 years ago, if you were a gay athlete, you were screwed.
You were screwed. Yes, it's mm-hmm. it's really opened up a lot of doors. But people are now also realizing that 90% of what is colorizing the planet is the LGBT community. We are the screensavers in the background. We are the ones behind that executive decision that speaks to that president of that company that goes, if you do X, Y, and Z, you will get this result. So people are coming to realize that we are in the right position. So to all my LGBT children out there, get that education and keep inspiring your straight counter allies. That's how we fix this planet, regardless of having a Trumpanzee in office.
We're going to get through this, baby, with art, love, and vivacious.
Yes, aww. We will.
Honey, you are my A-L-V. Brother from another mother and father.
And sister.
And brother.
And niece and cousin.
All of that and more.
I just absolutely love all our conversations with you. And, you know, I'm certain the audience loves it, too. We get a lot of great feedback from folks. They're just like, Vivacious was born to be a minister. Preach, mama, preach. I can tell you, if you had one of those right-wing AM radio shows.
Could you make
Yeah, I'm not gay no more. The Jamaican version.
Listen, I knew from age 4 that I was a lady. It then dawned on me at age 16 in the middle of the night that I was a bigger lady, and I cried in my sleep all night when it hit me. When I at 16, I then decided to go do my own Sherlock Holmes to find out more about the LGBT lifestyle. And so I don't see me going back to being a church person. I would say, if anything, the church has turned me very anti-church. I believe that if you follow the first 10 commandments, that's all you need in life. Burn the rest of that book. You don't need it. It'll mess up your head.
And one of those commandments is support your drag queens that you love. So if you love Vivacious, go buy yourself an Ornacia head or some merchandise from her at facebook.com/ or Vivacious NYC, right?
Vivacious NYC at Instagram. I do everything from there, and it works out quite well.
Oh, from Instagram.
And your Facebook is Vivacious SSF, which stands for Sissy Seriously Fabulous. why did you say SSF?
Okay, so my name is Vivacious, and then there's another SF that's attached to it, because I am the last reigning queen of the most legendary nightclub in New York City called the Sound Factory.
Oh.
So the Sound Factory is the Studio 54 of the last biggest nightclubs in New York City. And I was given the mantle of hostess and beat out 300 other queens as the years went by, and held the title for myself, and held it for 20 years until she closed down in 2003, March 7th, on my birthday.
Oh, so you have a birthday coming up.
We don't talk about those things. It's like Voldemort.
Why is it bad luck to talk about your birthday?
Because my philosophy is, why should I celebrate my birthday when, to me, my life is like... Did you ever see that video where that gay guy told his parents that he wants them to come to the wedding, and they're like, we're not about that lifestyle?
Yeah. The one that most recently was out there, yeah.
Well, that's me and my family. Yeah. So I'm not celebrating my life, because to me, my birthday means to them that I am an absolute abomination. There's no need to celebrate that. If anything, maybe what I should do in the future is gear my mindset to celebrate the birthday of Vivacious as opposed to my actual birth.
Oh, the day you became a drag queen.
Right.
What day would that be?
I need to go sit back down and try to remember how that came about. I don't think it was I'm not a Halloween drag queen. Mine came like on a random day.
You were like, today I'm a girl.
Yeah, it was one of those
strong things. Black woman.
But bitch, let me tell you something. The first time I put on a dress and went on stage, honey, Jesus should have hit me with a bat.
And what would that have accomplished?
It would have made sure that for future generations would know, don't go doing drag looking that beastly.
Listen, all the booger queens, they will inherit the earth at some point.
Blessed be the booger queens, for they shall inherit the crown. The crown, honey. All great drag queens started with very humble beginnings.
Except for one that I knew. There's this, she's now a transsexual / going back and forth between genders. Her name is Angelique Ali. The first time she did drag, she looked flawless because no one knew she was a makeup artist. So she came out to the clubs every week watching all the queens, and then one week decided to show up, and we were like...
I'm sure she was practicing on her mug for weeks before she left.
That bitch was practicing. Yes, she was. She was. With me, it was no practice. I looked at Shaquita. I looked at Lady Bunny. I looked at all of them, and just one week decided, I'm going to do that.
I could do better than that.
And not better.
To a whole new level.
Yeah.
No,
I would invent drag.
No, sweetie. My name is not Vilk. This is not Vilk over here.
Vilk.
No, bitch. No, but I didn't do it and say I was going to be better than them. Yeah. I felt as though it gave me an escapable power. And that's what I was achieving, that escapable power, because when I'm dressed in boy clothing, I'm very conservative and very quiet. I'm an introvert, always thinking. When I put on that gi, honey, I become this other person, this other entity. It's as though the spirits of fierceness that lives in the universe, the minute I put it on, they come in, they channel themselves into me, and that's what I put out into the universe.
And then everyone is slayed, and they are dead, and then they are reborn, and now they have eternal life.
Exactly.
Vivacious, when are we going to find out who's going to be on season 11? Or is it?
Yeah,
it's 11, right? Or is it 10?
10,
season 10.
Yes. Season X.
What's the scuttlebutt? What have you heard on the streets from your sisters? Do you know?
I've heard that there are five queens from New York City, and I kind of had a problem with that. I believe that in the age of Trump, you shouldn't put all your cards in a major city that's already pro-LGBT. Yeah. You should try to use that platform of RuPaul's Drag Race to reach other cities that don't have as much flourishing rainbow to help uplift them in this quagmire after a bad time. You know?
Maybe they just picked the drag queens that they thought were the best fit, and they don't really think about it geographically.
I think that was the case as well. I believe that unlike other states, the minute you tell a bitch from New York City that Drag Race is about to happen, those bitches already sewing costumes to get on that bitch. I know people who had already made their 25 costumes prepared and have already filmed many sections. And we're just waiting to see the audition forms so they could fill out the rest. I know somebody who actually sent in their tape 1 week after the audition date came out.
Oh, wow.
The girls do not play when it comes to trying to get a non-drag race.
No, it's a career maker.
For them, they take it quite. These kids will drop their 9-to-5 jobs just to get that filming done.
Love all the drag queens. We think they're fantastic people, and we look forward to seeing them on television. But most importantly, support drag queens in your local communities. Go see shows if you can, and if you can't, check out their videos or visit them. We invite everybody who listens to the show to come on the podcast and talk about their lives and their journeys as artists. Just give us something clear and straightforward to talk about. Tell us about what makes you unique and special. And so we look forward to talking to some of these drag queens in the show very soon. And Vivacious, thank you so much for kicking with us. I mean, you really are just an all-star in our hearts and minds and soul.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always fun to catch up with you guys and to also Kiki. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a time when we call it family bonding. That's really what this is, family bonding. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Without the barbecue, I mean, technically speaking, if we were in the same room, we'd all be cooking with drag queens right now. It'd be called cooking and kikiing.
Mm-hmm. You know, if we ever get to do a cooking with drag queens, we should do a good old fashioned barbecue with ribs and corn on the cob.
Yes,
you know, some food that fills you up.
Some real soul food.
Yeah,
I make some good collard greens.
You do?
I do.
What's your secret to good collard greens?
Bacon. No, it's not bacon. It's ham.
You like to use the turkey, turkey leg.
Oh, that's also a good one.
Smoked turkey leg.
Yeah. Or if I'm just trying to make it quick, Fausto gets this Puerto Rican stuff called sofrito, and it has a little bit of ham based in there and peppers, and just like a scoop of that in there, it's really good.
It's delicious, honey.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a combination of cultures, just like, you know, the way we like to cook.
Mix it up, honey.
There you go, girl.
Well, thank you, Vivacious. It's always a pleasure, and we'll chat with you real soon, okay?
Definitely, and thank you for having me again.
Of course.
Love you, baby.
Bye-bye.
Love you.
Vivacious lives in New York City. Check her out on social media and on Facebook. It's Vivacious SF. You can remember it, San Francisco, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then on Instagram and Twitterland and Grindr and Scruff, it's Vivacious NYC.
And get your Halloween costume early. Get yourself your very own Ornacia head.
Yes.
And, you know, avoid the Halloween rush.
Yeah, because honey, if you order that Ornacia head by the you know, late September, you might not get it in time.
Right.
And you really, if you get one of those and you walk into a Halloween party or just like anybody's party, like imagine if you showed up for work on Monday morning wearing an Aisha head, people would howl.
If you went to the prom with an Aisha head, people would be like, oh my God, what is that?
The prom's just days away, right?
Well, it's the springtime.
It's springtime. So now is the time to order your Aisha head, honey. Aisha came, Aisha slayed.
2 to 4 weeks for delivery. I want to remind folks, too, we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up at feastoffun.com/plus. If you have any problems with your account, just email me at mail@feastoffun, and we'll get it all sorted out. Remember, we can't do the show without people like you.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.